Well, also the other thing I think is a lot of people talk about fractures. And as you said, really there was nothing done in any of these trials to monitor bone density or make an intervention, which is, you know, standard of care, I think, at this point.
Yeah. When I look at, we look at ATTACC now completing therapy. So they're done with the therapy. And they had 1.2 versus 1.1% hip fractures with no monitoring. It's 0.2% per year. With no monitoring at all, allowing women with osteoporosis to enter, no therapeutic intervention, really 8% apparently had bisphosphonate therapy. We will never see numbers that high, and it's almost an ignorable number now. And then we go to using our standard, even if the oncologist didn't do it, the world would probably be doing it for these patients. And then we go to the prospects that probably in the near future, Quadrinate may well be approved. I mean, it's verging towards getting an approval for breast cancer metastases reduction. And if that's the case, then the vast majority of patients would be getting Quadrinate, which has been shown to, you know, maintain bone in women who have premature menopause with breast cancer.
And I remember when Mike Baum presented the first ATTACC data in December 2001, he had presented it just right after Trevor Powles had presented one of the studies that was positive looking at Quadrinate. I think it actually showed a survival difference. And he, right during the ATTACC presentation, brought up the question of whether or not this is going to be sort of, quote, a partnership or dual treatment in the future.
So it probably is caught up in terms of the data showing that maybe, at least in the future, we may be using both those agents together.
What do we know about the ability of bisphosphonates to prevent the bone loss that occurs with aromatase inhibitors?
We have now emerging evidence, certainly for the intravenous agents in the ABCSG12 study, where they have a large number of patients, premenopausal women made postmenopausal with Zoladex, then randomized to anastrozole versus tamoxifen, and then either zoledronic acid 4 milligrams every 6 months or not. The women on even tamoxifen lost bone, much more bone loss on the anastrozole, and they were completely abrogated or prevented by the addition of this every 6 months zoledronic acid therapy.
I thought that was really fascinating about the tamoxifen, because I see more and more oncologists using ovarian suppression plus tamoxifen for their high-risk patients. I'm not sure that bone loss is quite as much on the radar as it is for using AIs in postmenopausal patients.
Now, that's one thing that comes up in many discussions with clinicians, where they will raise the bone health issue as a major reason for not wanting to use aromatase inhibitors. And then my comeback question would be, when you were giving somebody fat chemotherapy for the last 25 years, who is 47 years old, what was your concern about making them prematurely menopausal, and what was your usual custom and practice about intervening and treating that as a concern? And generally speaking, the answer would be, it was no concern, and I haven't done anything about it. So it's kind of an interesting thing. It's viewed to have bone loss with aromatase inhibitors kind of viewed as a big deal. To have accelerated bone loss with premature menopause resulting from chemotherapy for 25 years wasn't felt to be much of an issue.